Okay, so today's daf is Psachim daf nun gimel, and we're at the bottom of Psachim daf nun beis amud beis, and there we were discussing at what how big do fruits have to be subject to some of these prohibitions that we're mentioning, like about Shemitah, because there is a prohibition, you're not allowed to just wantonly destroy food, Shemitah food, that a food that has fruit that has Kedusha Shvi'is, you have to eat it, you can't simply destroy it. And then we said, from when does it start? Does it start from, so we had these small dates where there was a theory that maybe you don't have to, the prohibition doesn't apply if they're very small, that they're not fully ripened. But then they said, well, there are these peels, these date peels, or these peels that are around the palm tree, that they were subject to Orla. But then the Gemara said, no, that's only according to Rabbi Yossi. But the Chachamim argue and say that there's no prohibition of Orla. That's, you can't use it for 3 years, fruit that grows the first 3 years of the tree. So the Rabbana disagrees and say it doesn't apply if it's not fully ripened. So that's where we got to. That's where we're up to the bottom of, about 4 lines to the bottom of the base of the base. Maskiflah Rav Shimon min Hardai. Rav Shimon from Nardai asked, Umi pligi Rabbanan alei de Rav Yossi? Do the Rabbanan argue on Rav Yossi? Bishar ilanos, when it comes to other trees, do they, is it only, is there a debate limited to the palm tree, or does it apply even to other situations, other fruits? Because Vahatrad, they must, we learn in the Mishnah, we are saying kotzi matzei lonos b'shvi'is. So from what amount, from when are we not allowed to cut the trees during Shemitah, or not just the trees, or yeah, basically, what, from when can you not cut the trees or the branches on Shemitah? Because that by cutting it, you're going to ruin the, you might destroy the fruit of the Shemitah fruit. B'shami omrim kol ha'ilanos b'shiyotziyu. As long as the trees bring forth the beginning of the leaves, once the leaves come out, then you cannot destroy the, cut down the tree. And basically, omrim hecharuvin misheyisharsharu. So with the time for carobs is when you see them like a rings of chains of carobs. V'hagafanim misheyigareu, and the, and the grapes, the vines, the time is when the grapes go a little bit. Yonetsu, and the olives, so when a shell forms around the olives. Ushar kolha ilanos, and all other trees for when they bring forth the fruit. So Amaravasi, Vasi now, and so and Ravasi says a general rule. Who boser, who geruah, who pol halavad. That whenever we find a Mishnah saying the word boser, geruah, or pol halavad, it's the same thing. Pol halavad, so gadaitach, you mean to say that geruah is pol halavad? How could that be? Ela'ema shi'uro ki pol halavad. The saying is that the shear, the amount of when it's boser or garua, that's a certain, when it reaches a certain stage. So what is that? That is, I guess, the size of a white bean. So in other words, when it grows a little bit, when it's the size of like a white bean. Uman shabat le da'amar boser in smadarlo, and who's the Tana who says that only when it becomes a, when it's large enough to be considered boser, when it's large enough, then it is considered a fruit. And if, and it, but if it's only a smadar, when it's smaller, then it's not considered a fruit. So this is Rabbanan. The Katani, Shaar kol ha'ilanos mishayotziyu. That when it comes to other trees, other than, like for example, palm trees, you can't cut them during Shemitah from when any fruits bring forth. In other words, they only make their halacha about that the fruit has to be a certain size when we're talking about carobs, grapes, and olives. But all of the trees, even when it comes to the smallest fruit, they're still subject to the prohibition of Shemitah. Ella, Rabbi Eloi, cuts that when he cut the, I guess, the branch, he remembered that he needs to cut the dates in the month of Nisan, and the dates that are that I guess are in the that are there will never become ripened. As the reason why the reason why Rabbi Loi from the last from last Amud, when he cut this palm tree, these small Shemitah dates on this tree, is not because they were not ripened enough, and eventually they will become ripe. If that's the case, then you weren't allowed to do that. Everyone agree you wouldn't be allowed to do it. But what? But this type of tree was a tree where the date, or at least the dates on this tree, would never ever become ripe. So if they would never ever become ripe, then there's no prohibition to of being mafsid, of ruining them by even though they have kedusha shvis. Tana Rabbanan, ochlim ba'navim ad sheyichlu dolios shel ochel. So the rabbis teach us that we could eat shvita grapes until the grapes are no longer from, like, are finished from the vines that are on the boards of this, of I guess this place where there are vineyards. I guess when right, we said that that's called beer. You have to either destroy the fruit or be mafgir the fruit once it's no longer found in the fields. So this is the location here. Vimyesh mucharos mehem, and if there are grapes in another place that remain longer later than them, ochli baleiv, that you could eat in the house the grapes that are still in your house, ochli bezeisib ad sheyichle, achrod shebitkoa, you could eat the olives, the shvita olives, until the last olive tree is gone, or the last olive is gone from the olive grove in Tekoa. And Rabbi Eliezer Ober, Achiyichla Achron Shel Gush HaChalav, he said, until the last olive is gone from Gush HaChalav. I guess there are different locations in their area as to when the last olive was, different places. Kedei Sheyehe Adi Yotzei Ve'eno Motzei Lo Benofo V'lo Bikaro Rova. And you wait until, you're allowed to eat the fruit until, I know olives so much so, that when a poor person comes to go look for olives there in that olive orchard, he can't find in the branches of the tree, and he can't find in the bottom, in the roots of it, the amount of a fourth of a kav. Ochli begrogros, you could eat the dried figs, ad sheyichlu page beishidi, until there are no longer any of these small figs in beishidi. Amar Vihuda Los Husku Pagi Beishini Elian Maisa. He says that we only mention Pagi Beishine in the Beis Medrash, that they're considered fruit only when it comes to Maisa. What does that mean? Because the Mishnah, what says Pagi Beishine, so they the dried figs of the small dried figs of Beishine, which will forever remain small, Vahina de Tuvina, and the dates of a place called Tuvida, that they're also very small, Chayavim b'maiser. You have to take maiser, even though they're very small. But when it comes to calculating the time for Biur and Shemitah, we don't mention Pagi Beishine. That's not relevant. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to eat other figs, even though these Beishine figs are still around, because they're not considered chashuv enough. They're not considered important enough. So ochlim betamarim ad sheyichla achron shebetzor. You could eat dates of Shemitah dates until the last date is gone from the in Soar. This is the town where there were a lot of dates. Rabbi Shimon ben Galil over ochlim al shel beis hakifin vein ochlim al shel beis Shelbein Hashitzin. He says that you could eat the dates relying on the dates that are found among the branches of the palm tree, but you can eat based on the dates that are found in the thorns that grow around the palm tree, because a wild animal cannot get them. The Torah says, that you can eat them as long as the animals in the field can have access to these, to the fruits. So as long as, when there are no more fruits in the field, such that the animal has access to it, so then you can no longer eat it. So when it's the dates remain by the thorns, by the palm tree, so then no animal has access to it, and therefore, at that point, you can no longer, you have to be mafkir the fruits or be destroyed in your house. Uraminu, but we have a question on that from another brisa. Ochli banavim ada pesach, ba zesi bado atzeres, ba grogos ada chanukah, ba tmurim ada purim. So the brisa says you can eat the grapes, the Shemitah grapes, until Pesach of the eighth year. And you can eat the olives of Shemitah until Shavuos. And you can eat the dried figs until Chanukah. And you can eat the dates until Purim. So, Amar Rabbevoy said that Rabbi Yochanan Tarte Bas Raisa Machli. So he switched the times of the last two, that the dried figs until Chanukah and the dried dates until Purim. And he learns it that the dried figs you have until Purim and the dates until Chanukah. So, nevertheless, that doesn't seem to be the time as the previous brisa. So Gemara says, no, idibidi chad shurhu. It's the exact same time, even though one is measuring by the holiday and one is measuring by the when the last date remains, the last fruit remains in this particular location, it's the same time. Or you can say that we see in the first brisa that if there are later ones, if there are fruit that are in the field later, then you can eat by them as well. In other words, you can't ask on the brisos, because the shurim in the first brisa are saying in a normal situation, and the second brisa is saying in a situation that even if fruits remain in a different place in a longer time, and he says that you can continue, and then he says in that case you can continue eating all the way until Pesach, all the way until, you know, a later date. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Simon laharim milin, Simon al amakim dekalim, the Simon le Necholim Kanim V'Siman L'Shvela Shikma. So he wants to say the following. A sign that you're going to remember what places are called mountains are Milim. So Milim, I think, are they like gallnuts? How do they translate them?
Gallnuts. Never heard of them.
Okay, nearby. But somehow I remember that word. I don't know. Okay, and a sign for, you know, something's in the valley, because there you have palm trees, you have dates growing there. And a sign for, you know, of streams of river, is there a lot of reeds there. And a sign that you're in the lowlands, so there you have, I think, sycamore. The afal pi she'en raya ledavar, zeich ledavar, even though there's no proof for this, that the sign for lowlands is shikma, the sycamore, but nevertheless, is that right? Is Shikma Sycamore?
Sycamore.
Okay. So there is a hint to it, because the pasuk says, "Ve'itein haMelech as a kesef Yerushalayim kavanim v'sarazim nasan kashikmi masher b'shveil arov." So there he talks about the Shikma that's in the Shveila, in the lowlands. Now, Simon Lahar Milin. So the sign for mountains are galdats, and Simon Lamakim dekalim nafkamina. What's the practical difference? Lebikurim, to know where you should bring the first fruits from. Didnan ein mevim bikurim elam yeshivas hamidim. You're only allowed to bring the first fruits from one of the seven types of fruits that grow, that for which Eretz Yisrael is praised, and not from the palm trees of the mountains, and not from the fruits of the valleys, because they're not as good. You want to bring where the best from the best areas. What's an afkamina? The practical difference regarding saying that the reeds come from that are around the streams. Lenachal esan, because you that's where you do the egla rufa there. You buy a nachal. So you know it's a nachal if there are reeds growing. Siba and l'shvele shikma afkamina lemekach lemkar. It's a sign for the lowlands or sycamore, because if you say to your friend, I'm selling to you the shvela, so it's only considered a shvela if there are sycamore trees. Once you say that, then you can say for each of these four cases that the nafkamina is that if I'm selling you mountains, there has to be, gallnuts. And if I sell you, so I'm going to sell you this area where there's a valley, there has to be date trees, etc., etc. Okay. The Mishnah now is discussing the following. The Chachamim said that you're not allowed to sell to a non-Jew a behema gasa, like a large animal. And the reason for this is because they were concerned that because of this, you will come to lend it to him or rent it to him, and the non-Jew will do malacha with it on Shabbos. And Jew is commanded that his animal... Cannot have work done on Shabbos. So therefore, and then we're concerned that if you sell to the goy on Erev Shabbos, you tell to the goy, because he's going to say to the goy, okay, let's test it, see how good it is. And then maybe it will carry a burden 4 hours of Rishus Rabbim, and then you will violate the prohibition of Mechamer Achar Behemto of Shabbos, work your animal on Shabbos. This prohibition only applies to like large animals that are designated for work and not for small animals. But
if you sell the animal, it's not yours anymore.
Correct. So apparently they made a decree that if we allow you to sell the animal, then you're going to do what? Then you might rent out the animal also. Because once you're in the business of selling cars, you'll also be in the business of leasing cars. So once you're in the business of selling animals, you'll also be in the business of leasing your animals as well. So that's the concern. So, but there were some places that they were stringent even when it came to smaller animals. So that's the case of minhag here. So the Mishnah says makom shenagu limkor behema daka ledacher. So a place where they had the custom to sell small animals to non-Jews, mochrim. You could do it. Mokum shelo nagu limkor in mochim. Goes by the place. Place that doesn't have the custom to do it, you're not allowed to do it. Ubechol makom. And every place, even places where they have the custom to sell small animals to non-Jews, ain mochim lehem behemagasa. We don't sell them large animals. Agolim usyachim. Like calves and small donkeys. That even though they're not fit for malacha now, we're concerned that if someone sees them, we'll think that you can even sell them when they become larger. Shleimim v'shvurim, the prohibition to sell them when they are whole, or when they, let's say, they're broken leg, so they're not fit for malacha. Rabbi Yehuda mater b'shvur. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can sell an animal with a broken leg. Ben Misera mater b'sus, the Misera allows you to sell a horse, because you typically only ride on a horse on Shabbos, because that is not subject. If your animal rides on Shabbos, if someone rides on an animal on Shabbos, on your animal on Shabbos, that's not a violation for you, because that's not a malacha that's forbidden in the Torah. Riding an animal on Shabbos is only a rabbinic prohibition. So if someone else rides on my animal on Shabbos, so that's not a problem. If you put a burden on my animal on Shabbos, and my animal is carrying it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, so that's the malacha of carrying Rosh Hashanah. So what am I doing? I'm violating the malacha of Mechamer. So therefore with the horse, it's not, you don't typically do that. So therefore, he says you can sell a horse to a non-Jew. Malkam Shinagu. So now we're talking about Korban Pesach. Malkam Shinagu Lechol Tzali B'Lele Pesachim. in places where they have the custom to eat roasted meat on the night of Pesach. So, ochlim, you can eat it. Malkom shel nagu shlo lechol, ein ochlim. Places where they have the custom not to eat roasted meat, they don't eat it, right? Our custom is we don't have roasted meat on Pesach, because what was the custom developed? Because, again, it gives off the impression like you're eating Korban Pesach outside Yerushalayim. That's the basis for this custom. So, but again, as Mikar did, it's not a problem because obviously you're not eating korban meat. So there are different, So there are different customs about this. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, also lo la'adam shomer basar zeh lePesach hu b'nei shenira kamakti pehemto va'ochol kachim mechutz. Person's not allowed to say that this meat is even after it's shechted is going to be for the korban Pesach. I'm sorry. Is going to be for Pesach. That's my meat for the korban Pesach. Because it gives off the impression like you're sanctifying your animal to buy with its money the Korban Pesach, and you're eating kachim bachutz. So and if everyone knows that you can't sanctify a piece of meat in Kedushas Korban, but people are going to say that you're sanctifying this piece of meat, and then you're going to sell it, and you're going to use its money to buy Korban Pesach. Amar Papa, Dafka basar v'olchite lo. By meat, you're now, this prohibition is with meat, but by wheat, there's no prohibition. You're allowed to say, this wheat is for Pesach. This wheat that I'm using here is for Pesach. We're not considering you to think that you're going to designate its money for Korban Pesach, because they're going to understand when it says this wheat is for Pesach, the minter lepischa kamar. They never understand that means that you are saving it to eat on Pesach. The basar lo. So meat, you can't say this meat is for Pesach. Is that really true? Meisvei, the Bnei Yeshiva ask. Amar Rav Yosi says, Todos ish Romi, hinig es Bnei Romi, lechol gedoy mekulasim, lele psachim. So Totos taught the people of Rome that they could eat roasted meat like the way they roasted it on Pesach, on the night of Pesach, to commemorate the Korban Pesach that was roasted whole. So chulo yomalei tudus ata gozarno lechanido yata machos shol kachim bachutz. So they Chavim sent to him, if you weren't todos, if you weren't such a chashiv person, we would excommunicate you because with your behavior you're feeding Klal Yisrael kachim outside the mikdash. So Gemara says kachim zol kedaitak. You really think he's feeding them kachim? They didn't sanctify these goats to be eaten as a Korban Pesach. There's no formal kedusha. Elema, rather, what do you say? Karav la'achol shom kachim mechutz. It's close to feeding Klal Yisrael kachim mechutz. It appears like Korban Pesach. Mekulos in shein mekulos lo. Yeah, but what does that story tell you? That only in a situation where you say what this whole goat is for Pesach, then we're concerned, like it gives us this appearance that you're sanctifying kachim outside. But if it's not a whole, goat, if you just take a slice of lamb and say this, I'm saving this for Pesach, no one's going to think that that's for kachim. There's the only problem with todos was that it was a whole goat and not a slice of meat. So Gemara says, Amri makulos loshina amar. So he says, Makulos loshna amar loshna lo amar, eno makulos perush in lo perush lo. So they to respond to that, the reason why it mentions makulos is that by the meat, if it's makulos, if it's completely roasted, so there's no difference if he said this meat is for Pesach or if he didn't say it, because once you're taking, once he is telling people you can eat this meat on Pesach, this holy roasted meat on Pesach. So it doesn't make a difference whether you specifically say this meat is for Pesach. But if it's not fully roasted, so it would still be forbidden if you said this meat is for Pesach. But then it appears like you're sanctifying the meat for L'shem Korban Pesach. But if you didn't say this meat for Pesach, then there's no prohibition. The Gemara now brings that there's someone who learns this price in the name of Rabbi Shimon. And he says, Ravacha Masi La Mahamasisa Karabi Shimon. Ravacha learned this verse of Todos like Rabbi Shimon, that it was not Rabbi Yossi who told him that you're sort of feeding it wasn't Rabbi Yossi who told the story about Todos, it was Rabbi Shimon. Maski Fla, Rabbi Shesh just asked about this. I understand the Brisa who says Rabbi Yossi told this Brisa, makes sense. Does it make sense if you say Rabbi Shimon told the story? Behold, we learn the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Potro. So what's this Mishnah talking about? So the Mishnah Berachol says that if you make a neder, you make a promise to bring a korban mincha, and that you're not allowed to bring, and you say Hare alai mincha min hasa'orim. Let's say you say, behold, I'm going to donate a mincha from barley. And you can't do that. Where does mincha have to come from? From wheat. So you say, I hereby make a neder that I'm going to bring a mincha from barley. So then you have to bring the mincha from, we don't say that your promise is completely invalid. Rather, we say that you have to bring a korban mincha, but it has to be the right kind from wheat. Because, we grab onto the beginning of your words, and we say that we take your Harei Alai Mincha seriously. You have to bring a Korban Mincha from wheat. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, no, you're Pater. That he says that we take your whole statement into consideration. Your whole statement is not true. Then, therefore, and so since you said, I'm going to bring a Mincha from barley, it doesn't make any sense. So therefore, you don't have to bring anything. It's not a real neder. Because you didn't make a promise the way people typically make promises for a nedava. So if that's the case, according to Mishimon, we're not concerned that someone who sees him eating a goat that's fully roasted, are going to say that he can eat kachim b'chutz, because he never said Harei Zeh LePesach, and at the time of when you roasted it, also if he said this is for Pesach, it's also a nothing, because he didn't sanctify it the way people sanctify it. So in other words, Rabbi Shimon wouldn't say this halacha, because he would say if it's Mekulas, I don't care he would never say that it would be forbidden to eat this meat, because the only time that we're concerned about something is if you are making a statement that is fully logical, that fully makes sense. If you say, oh, this meat is for Pesach, no, that doesn't make sense. Just like if you say this Korban Mincha is I'm going to give this korban mincha barley, that doesn't make sense, and we don't take your word seriously. So also he would say that if you say, oh, I'm using this meat for Pesach, we also would not take his word seriously. So he can't be the one to teaching this price. Omar le Ravina Ravashi man de masna lak Rabbi Yossi minicha, according to the one who says that Rabbi Yossi taught this, is it good? Rava, behold, Rava says Rabbi Shimon b'shitas Rabbi Yossi amra, that Rabbi Shimon, who says that if you say, behold, I'm donating, I'm Harei Alai Mincha Shel Sa'orim, Rabbi Shimon says you don't have to bring the Mincha. He said this in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Stamar Apik Mar Dvarva Dem Nitpas. The person is actually, we take his words even by what he says at the end. My love, the Rabbi Shimon Savalok Rabbi Yossi. Doesn't he hold like Rabbi Yossi? So Rabbi Yossi Nami Savalak Rabbi Shimon. So then Rabbi Yossi must hold like Rabbi Shimon. Then in the case where you make a nedava, you not the way that people typically do that, your neder is not valid. And if Rabbi Yossi taught this price of tudus, it's difficult. Why are we concerned by eating this goat that's roasted? He did not make a neder or nedava. He didn't make a promise about that this is for Korban Pesach the way people typically do. It's not valid. So why should we be concerned about it? The Gemara says, Lo, Rabbi Shimon, Savar, Lok, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon holds Rabbi Yossi that we even hold by the end of the words. But Rabbi Yossi, Lo, Savar, Lo, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. In other words, Rabbi Yossi says, if you make a nedava, if you make a promise, not like the way people make promises, so he holds, actually, that we take your word seriously. In other words, there are two statements that Rabbi Shimon makes. Number one is, we take into account your whole statement, not just the beginning, but also the end. And if the whole statement doesn't make sense, so then we say your whole statement does not have any validity, does not have any halachic validity. However, Rabbi Yossi agrees that we take into account not just what you say in the beginning, but in the end, but he will hold that because that a person would not simply say things levatala in vain, and therefore a person is obligating himself with with what he can obligate himself. And therefore, therefore Rabbi Yossi would say, when the person says Harezeh Pesach, when it comes to this meat from the Korban Pesach, then what are you doing? So obviously you're not sanctifying this meat that you're going to actually as a korban, because that you can't do. Right, but maybe you can say that his intent was to sanctify the meat when it comes to Kedushas Damim, that you're saying that I'm going to sanctify this meat, this piece of meat, to use for money, to be used for a Korban Pesach. So that's what we're concerned about. Ibai Lahu, Todos Ish Romi, Gava Rabba Hava, Obal Egropen Hava. You know, Rabbi Yossi said, or the Chachamim said to Todos, you know, we're very upset at what you did. We're not going to put you in excommunication because you're very chashev. In what way was he chashev? Was he someone who was a gadol b'Torah and therefore they didn't excommunicate him? Or was he simply a really strong guy and they were afraid of him and they didn't excommunicate him? So Tashma, come in here. Od zu darash todos ish robi. So todos ish robi made a drasha. Maru chanai mishal v'azari shemasu atzim ha'kdushas l'shem l'kiv shanesh. Why did Chanan, Mishael, and Azariah give? Why were they willing to give up their lives for the fiery furnace? And because they didn't worship Avodah Zarah, they're willing to be thrown into a furnace in Sefer Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to do that, and they didn't bow down to the Tselem, to the idol. So Nasa Kavachomer Ba'atzmam. So they drew a kavachomer from the frogs. In this week's parsha, the frogs are not commanded to sanctify Hashem's name, but plague of Tzfardeya, that they're going to come into your house and your ovens and where your doughs of bread are, meaning what? That they're going to come, that the frog, they're supposed to appear in the doughs that it's in the oven. So when are the doughs in the oven? When the oven's hot. So the frogs then were willing to give up their lives by going into hot ovens to fulfill God's will. So the Chanai Mishael Azariah said, if the frogs can do that, and they're not commanding in Kiddush Hashem, so we're commanding Kiddush Hashem, certainly, Anishim Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, Achaz Kam Kama, we certainly should give up our lives. Okay, so Rav Yossi, so what do we see from here? So since Todos, he made a drasha, so he was obviously a Torah scholar, and then he was great, he was chashur from being a Torah scholar, and not necessarily because he was a strong man. Rabbi Yossi bar Avid Amar Matil Malei a Lechis Shel Tamidei Chachamim. So he said, "Phil, give merchandise to the pockets of Tamidei Chachamim, so they can sell it and they can get some of the profit." Haya. So I'm saying Haya. I'm sorry. So Todos was someone who would give money, who would support Talmid HaChachamim. He would give them merchandise so they can sell and make a profit. And by the way, that's why they didn't excommunicate him, because he supported Talmid HaChachamim. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, anyone who does this, who helps support Talmid HaChachamim, he will sit in the yeshiva shamala, because the pasuk says, "Vitzel haChachma, vitzel haKasef." The shadow of wisdom is the shadow of money. So you support Talmid HaChacham, in the shade of Chachma is the shade of money, that in the Mechitza of the Chacham, and the Shiva Shamala is also the Baal Abbas who supports him. Mishnah says, Makam Shinagul Hadlikas and Ne'er B'Leila Yom Kippur Madliki. The place where they have the custom to light the candles on the night of Yom Kippur, we light it. Makam Shinagul Shalol Hadlik Eim Madlikim. And the place where they have the custom not to light it, we don't light. Madlikim Bati Kinesis Bati Midrashis Ramvus HaFeilev Al Gabi Acholim. And we light the candle in the shuls on the Bati Medrash and in the dark alleyways. And the reason why is because it's a little bit dangerous, because you might fall when you're walking there. And others say that no, it's for the kavod of Yom Kippur actually. And on Cholim, and again it doesn't. And you also have the lights on for Cholim as well, because you need to make sure to know what the Cholim need in this instance on Yom Kippur, what to bring, because always there's a chashash sakana. Okay, so and we're not concerned of the minhag not to light, because in all of these places, people don't sleep there. In other words, what we're saying is the following, that certain places, in the house, you have different customs whether to keep the light on the night of Yom Kippur or not. So there's different customs about that. But in the shuls, Bati Midrash, and these dark alleyways in the Cholah, so that regardless of a minhag or not a minhag, we do light the candles for them. So I guess because I think about it on Yom Kippur, why do we light candles at night on Friday night for the Shabbos meal? So on Yom Kippur night, you get home, right? There's no Shabbos, there's no meal. So question is, do you still light it for Kavod Yom Tov or not? And so that's the depends on custom. Tana Bein Shamru Lahadlik Bein Shamru Lo Lahadlik Shnei Ledavar Echad Yiskavnu. Whether they say to light or not to light, they both customs are based on one reason. So he wants to say so that you won't have relations. Intimate relations are forbidden. So according to the custom, it's say, I'm sorry, so it's not, so there's no meal, so that reason doesn't apply. So why would you say you should light? So according to the reason that says, the custom that says you should light the candle, is because since a person doesn't have marital relations by the light of the candle. So therefore, what do? You light the candle so the person will remember not to have relations. According to the custom not to light, the reason is because when the candle is lit, then he sees his wife and he desires her. Therefore, they have the custom is to not light the candles at night of Yom Kippur, so then he won't be attracted to her that night and forget and have relations. Amar Yeshua says, Darash Rava expounded, V'ameh kulam tzadikim lom Yeshua aretz. Your people, all righteous people, they're always going to inherit the land. Vein sh'amru lahadlik, vein sh'amru lo lahadlik, sh'amru lo yiskav el davar echad. All the people are so righteous. The customs of lighting or not lighting, they both had the same goal in mind, to distance a person from sin. So they're all righteous, therefore they're going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, we make the bracha barber aish only on Saturday night and not on Motzei Yom Kippur. Why? Because Saturday night, that's when fire was created. That's why we're making the bracha on Motzei Shabbos. So Rabbi Baruch Hanna says, you said well. V'chein Amar V'yochan, V'yochan also says, we don't make a bracha on the Eish, on fire, ad Motzi Yom Kippur. Ula, hava rachiv chamra v'azil, hava shakiv v'azil, rabbi abba mimine, rabba barbar chana mismalei. Ula was riding a donkey, and he was going. And he was, and Rabbi Abba was on the right side of Ula, and Rabbi Chana was on the left side. Amale Rabbi Abba la Ula. Rabbi Abba said to Ula, "Vade the Misa Mishmei de Rabbi Yochan. Is it true that I heard that you heard the name of, that you said the name of Rabbi Yochan in Baruchim al Oral Motzei Shabbos whole Utchilas Briyasahu that we don't make a bracha of Bermer or Eish on Saturday night because that's when we only say it on Saturday night because that's when fire was created. Hade Ula Chazabei Rabbi Abba Chana Bishus. Ula turned to his left and he saw that Rabbi Abba Chana has had a sad face, because Ula wanted to hint to him that Rabbi Yochanan said this, and behold, Rabbi Yochanan didn't say this. But he held, Rabbi Yochanan apparently held, that on Motzei Yom Kippur, you also make the bracha on fire. So Amalei, Ana Lav Aha Amri, says, I didn't say this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ella Aha Amri. Rather, I said it about this. The Tara Kabed Rav Yochan, that one of the students who said Brises in front of Rav Yochan said the following: Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Yom Kippur Shcholios B'Shabbos Af Mokom Shamu Shul LaHadlik Man Likim Nek Fod Shabbos. That Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said that even in a place where the custom was that they would not light on Yom Kippur in the house, when it fell out on Shabbos, they would light it because of Kavod Shabbos. Va'anei Rabbi Yochan Basrei Chachamim Olshim. And Rabbi Yochan responded after him, but the Chachamim disagreed, and they said that you're not allowed to light in the house on night of Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos until Motzei Shabbos. Amalei, and I mentioned, right, and he mentioned the name, right, and I mentioned the name of Rav Yochanan on fire at Motzei Shabbos regarding this opinion, and they thought that I was referring to Rav Yochanan on the bracha of Barmir Hoech. You know, they thought that Rav Yochanan gave an opinion about whether you make a bracha Barmir Hoech on Motzei Yom Kippur. That's not what I was talking about, Rav Yochanan. I was talking about Rav Yochanan, the case of Shabbos that fell out on Yom Kippur, do we light a candle in the house? And on this, the Rabbi Yochanan said that we don't. He never spoke about Motzei Yom Kippur. Amalei Adatehe. He says, okay, with this, I admit that Rabbi Yochanan said this opinion. Okay, we'll stop here, and God willing, we'll continue tomorrow.